Well, it's been a while since we've talked about automation, and lots of things have changed. I thought I would ask Joe Levy to come down and show us what's new, man. Good to see you again.
Sure, happy to be here again. Thanks for having me.
So, it's literally been months, almost a year since I know I've talked to you about automation here in the Channel 9 Studios. What are you showing us today, man? What's up with this?
Sure, so today we're talking about kind of how Azure Automation has evolved into OMS, Operations Management Suite Automation,
okay.
And all the new cool stuff that comes with that.
Okay. Now that's all online, is it? Because I notice here that you've got hybrid mentioned. So
yes.
Is that like a teaser for how we're going to be covering this?
Well, so hybrid, basically what you get from moving from Azure Automation to Operations Management Suite Automation, some of the new stuff, the reason we're kind of moving the name to Operation Management Suite Automation is because, whereas before it was just about automating Azure and all your IT management tasks on Azure, making that really easy, now we've introduced all these capabilities that have to do with kind of hybrid cloud and automating within your data center and within your private cloud.
Okay.
And with that comes a whole bunch of new features, inclusion in the Operations Management Suite, which is a suite that's all about managing assets that are anywhere in Azure, AWS, on-premise, Linux, Windows, wherever it is, we can manage it.
So it's not just on-prem, it's not just inside the Azure world, it can literally be anywhere.
It can be anywhere.
Wow, now that's cool. Okay, so I want some more details about this.
More details, okay.
Yeah, please.
So yeah, automation is one of the many services in Operations Management Suite.
Mm-hmm.
It's we took Azure Automation, it's the same service, you can get it as part of Azure, you can get it as part of Operations Management Suite, but now it has all these capabilities for managing on-premise as well. Just to show you a little sec on what the Operation Management Suite portal looks like, here you go. You got all kinds of services in here about AD assessment, malware assessment, all kinds of really great integrated things. Operational Insights is in here, Azure Backup, Azure Site Recovery, and you can see Automation is in here now too. Clicking on that will take you to all the great automation, Azure Automation functionality you're used to already, plus some of these new great features.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to kind of walk through for people who haven't, nice animation there.
It works there.
Who haven't seen Azure Automation or OMS Automation before. Basically what it is a highly available, highly reliable process and declarative configuration execution engine, which makes it really easy to automate all the long-running, error-prone, frequently repeated tasks that you take to keep your data center and your clouds up and running.
So this was previously only available inside the Azure side of things. And it was like a little tiny micro machine, if you will, that actually ran the automation against your different pieces of your Azure subscription, as an example. It's gone beyond that now.
It was all about provisioning, deployment, monitoring, cleanup, all those IT management tasks you take, but for Azure before. And now we're opening up, now that we're confident in how it's doing for Azure, that it's going to automate everything on-premise as well. And so you can take these tasks that you usually, they were a lot of steps and they were error-prone and you had kind of people running through them manually and it took a long time and they'd get on a, they'd mess up a step and then they'd be in a bad place and had to go down this error path to fix it. You know, take all that unreliability out of the hands of your IT professional and put it in the hands of the automation engine so you can free up your employees, you know, to work on something that adds more business value than just kind of doing the same task over and over and over.
Okay.
And so basically what I like to frame it as, or now what you're getting a lot of is all of the normal tools you use for IT management, like PowerShell, you're already doing that.
Right.
OMS automation lets you take those PowerShell scripts without changes, put them in OMS automation, so they run reliably on schedules, you have an API to access them, you can view detailed history of who ran what when and what input it took. Just move all that into the automation service, run them the same content you were running before, but in a more reliable way. And so you're just automating just like you were before, but now you get some added goodies on top without having to really learn anything new to do this automation.
So I remember in previous iterations, you were talking about how it had to be converted from a straight PowerShell script into a workflow, or what was the name of that one?
PowerShell workflow?
It was PowerShell workflow,
yep.
Which is not exactly a direct translation. It required some extra tinkering.
Right.
Now it literally is just PowerShell stuff that goes in.
We'll get to that in one sec. Before I get to that, I just want to talk about, you know, how you take that PowerShell and then without making any changes to it, you get all these added benefits. And I kind of like to frame it as PowerShell plus plus because you get your desired state configurations, you get your PowerShell scripts and PowerShell workflows, but you get all these added benefits on top, like our secure asset store where you can reference credentials, reference variables from it. We have an API, obviously. We store all the executions that happen, so you can go back later and look at who ran what when and at what time. So all these kind of added goodies on top of just the PowerShell you're used to running already in your on-premise data center. And then the other part of it is you're getting it all as a service, so there's nothing to install to take advantage of this. You just click, give me an automation account in the portal, and then for free, you know, just we have a starting tier for free, so you get 500 execution minutes and 5 DSC nodes for free a month. Mm-hmm. You can play around with this. You don't have to set up any infrastructure or anything. You can just go ahead and play with it. And you automatically get updates. So no more, I need to patch my systems to get the latest features. We deliver updates, new features continually. Some of the new features I'm going to talk about soon. Mm-hmm. We deliver them continually. To get those features, you just log into the portal and boom, the features are there. Okay. Because it's all operated as a service.
Okay.
And it's super scalable. We operate it in lots of different regions to meet your compliance needs. All offered as a service.
Got it. Now, is this the point where you're going to show me something yet, or you still got some more you want to cover?
We're almost there.
Okay, because I'm like, I'm getting excited.
you're getting antsy.
I am, because I remember how interesting it was before, and then now it just looks like it's a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, it's much easier, and just some of the new features I mentioned, we have a whole bunch on here.
Okay.
Not going to go into detail on them. The two kind I want to cover today are PowerShell script support, mm-hmm. which you mentioned a little bit earlier,
right.
And Automation DSC support. So desired state configuration, PowerShell desired state configuration,
right.
running in our service, more manageable mm-hmm. at scale. So on the PowerShell script part, as you said, before you had to take your PowerShell scripts that you'd written, convert them into PowerShell workflows
right.
and use them in the service,
right.
which, you know, it's still mostly PowerShell, but there are some hiccups you have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no longer any of that. Take your PowerShell script, import it, run it. That's it. No changes needed. Take advantage of all the knowledge you have about PowerShell, all the existing content you and the community has about PowerShell, and run it in our service with no changes.
Mm-hmm.
It can run on hybrid. This says coming soon. We actually just released that.
So okay.
We release things very frequently, and this slide is actually out of date compared to how fast we're shipping now. So hybrid support for PowerShell script is there already. And it's the same as all your runbooks today. The content happens to be PowerShell instead of PowerShell workflow, but it's the exact same management in terms of starting it, editing it, importing, exporting, mm-hmm. publishing, scheduling, exactly the same, except now you can use pure PowerShell scripts.
Okay. But now, I can't wait anymore. I got to see some of this.
You
going to show me some of this now?
All right. Let's go and look at a demo on this.
Hey guys, are you here? You're gonna do the?
We are recording this right now.
No, this is a practice session, right?
No, this is a live one.
Seriously. hey, can I show him something?
Yeah.
Check this.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff
take over.
Oh, how do you? Yeah, you know, I was playing with this weekend. I don't know if he's talked to you about it. It's crazy cool.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So this is the new portal. If you don't mind, I'll show him.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
All yours.
So this is. Let's see. Where are we? Okay. So we got the new Azure portal. And we're showing, which part did you get to?
PowerShell scripts is what I was talking about.
Great. Okay, so here's the thing. We've had runbooks, right? So in the past, we had runbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see this gray? That's a workflow. That gray icon, that's a workflow.
Yeah.
This blue icon is the PowerShell script. So now you support both workflows and scripts.
Okay.
So we set this thing up with the set IT rules. And so it's just like in the past, right? So you same experience. You have this. You can go in and you can edit it. So we've got the integrated script and PowerShell script editing in ISE, or sorry, in the browser here. And then we want to go test it out, right? Go and check this out. So now we've got a PowerShell script. It's not a workflow, it's a PowerShell script. And check this out, we'll go run it here. And what the script does is it'll go evaluate a machine against a set of compliance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll say, hey, is IIS installed? And if not, it'll report it's not. So here we'll go and connect. Now check this out. So here's the URL to a machine which is in Azure. Now check this out. You say, oh, hey, you got the credentials, in ASCII text.
I was about to say, yeah, that's not something you want to have up on your screen right now with Notepad because you are recording this.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. Check this out. So we go back here. So you notice that this parameter takes a credential. Okay. Now, this is one of the PowerShell +++. Did you show him the PowerShell +++ slide?
+++, yes.
Yeah, I keep telling him.
He likes it. He loved that line.
You're getting it all wrong. It's PowerShell +++.
Oh, okay.
No, really, because you take the exact same artifacts, right, a PowerShell script,
mm-hmm.
but when you bring it into Azure Automation, all of a sudden it just gets better and better and better. I liken it to, remember, like with Perfmon, mm-hmm. right? You'd write a performance counter, and then on the machine, you'd get Perfmon. Like, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
But then exactly the same performance counter would show up in Tivoli, in HP, in BMC, in System Center, and it would do all these amazing things. It's exactly the same concept. So all the PowerShell scripts that you've written, as is, you bring into this environment, and all of a sudden you get all this wonderful stuff. Well, one of the wonderful things you have here is managed credentials. Managed credentials.
Now, that's the same as it was in the past, where you're able to go in and put the user ID and password and sort of stuff inside of the vault.
Yep, in our vault, and just reference it from your PowerShell scripts or your PowerShell workflows. Same as before, except now we have script support too.
So in the script, you can modify the script to be aware of that, and you can say, hey, please get me the credential. Or you can leave it unmodified. It detects that it requires a credential, and so here, we just specify the name of the managed asset.
Oh, okay.
And we'll have it go run, right? And so it's off there running there. Let me show you, where are the assets here?
Assets is a little back, a little more, and here there's an asset part.
Yeah, so here are the assets.
There we go.
Is that okay?
So that, yeah, the test will run, that's okay.
So here, those credentials are right here.
Okay.
So we specified the name, the secrets in this protected vault, et cetera. Right, I just specify the name, so then when it goes and runs it, it says, oh, let's go look that up, grab it, and use those credentials. And the great thing about that is then, you know, you can have lots of scripts all referring to these credentials. If you change the credentials, you just have to update the password. You just do it once, and everybody updates.
Right.
That's the great stuff that OMS brings to the picture. And there you go. It's complete. So it goes and says, this was not in compliance. Yeah?
Yeah. What was this runbook doing,
by the way? Okay. Well, this runbook was... So again, it was an existing PowerShell script that went and took a looked at the machine to see whether IIS was running, and if it wasn't, it then reports that it's not running and then sends email. So will the email show up, or should I show them the other thing first?
Well, the emails. I think I have one up there from before.
Okay, so this is from a previous run.
What?
And telling you
a cat
automatic message saying that. Was not following IT configurations and has been auto-corrected. And here's a nice picture of a puppy to cheer you up. There you go, cats rule.
Nice.
I don't know if you, Joe, that's actually a cat.
Yeah.
It's a little bug in the script, I think.
Little cat in the script. Okay, that's good. I like that. I like cats. Now my daughter's going to watch this over and over again. Okay. So, but now here's the cool thing. That was we gave a URL connection to an Azure node.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Okay, but now you can actually do it on premises as well. So check this out. So again, now this is a machine. Okay, that's running in a data center somewhere. Not an Azure data center.
You just got to correct the HTTP on the front there before you try to run it.
Picky.
Hey man, just typos. Got to make sure it works. And this is where that hybrid reference on the slide came from, right?
That's it. Yeah. So you say hybrid worker,
okay.
And you specify which data center it's in, and then when you start it. Now, here's the thing. Okay, so we're talking about hybrid. You know, it's on-premise, but that's not really it. It can be anywhere. So this can be your AWS VMs if you want, or if you've got stuff in Rackspace, if you've got stuff in VMware, wherever your stuff is, you go install the agent, and you can now automate against it.
Okay.
So it's really this, what's that look?
No, it blows my mind. The fact it's the exact same thing to be able to work no matter where it happens to be.
Well, you know what's so cool?
Now, did you have to define data center one as a particular location, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and Jeffrey before
went and set up.
It's already done already. PowerShell scripts, that's another thing I want to mention. Workflows took a little while to compile and run. PowerShell scripts, there's no compile step. Boom, you start it, it's done, like that. So you can see this ran very fast when running in Azure and when running on your hybrid worker.
Yeah.
So what hybrid workers are is basically you set up one or more machines in your data center to communicate with us, and we basically serve them the runbooks when they should run it, and they will run it and report back the results to us. So it's in the portal, it's seamless. It's just like it was running in Azure, except you have to just select this to run it on that hybrid worker.
Yeah.
You can see no changes were needed to the runbook, and you can run it in both places.
Yeah, and you know what's so exciting is really under the leadership of Satya, right? Satya is just so clear. go make your customers successful wherever they are, you know, and make sure they use our products, make sure they're successful with our products, make sure they love our products. So when we go talk to customers, yeah, we'd love you to use Azure, but we know a lot of people are using AWS. We know a lot of people are using other things other than ours. That's fine. We'll go and we'll support you in wherever you are. We'll provide value to you. That's what one of the things I'm so excited about. Now, again, we bring this script in and you get all the workflow wonderfulness, all the runbook wonderfulness. So what you can do here is you can set it up to run on a schedule. You can take a look at previous runs. So let's see, where do we see that?
I think jobs.
Under jobs?
See if this one has me. That's okay.
Let's see if we've run this before. Okay, so we haven't run this before.
We only run this as tests.
Test. Okay, so that's the other thing. It has a nice life cycle model, right? So you have this script, and it's in test mode. And then when you're ready, you publish it so other people can use it. And then when you run it, you keep track of the results, and it's just glory, glory, glory.
Awesome stuff.
I should let you get back to your slides.
I was about to say, we should probably wrap up the slide portion.
Sorry for the interruption.
Thank you
it's
for
just
coming
too
by,
cool.
though.
I appreciate it.
Nice surprise. All right. Back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yes.
So that was PowerShell script runbooks. Okay. And showing hybrid, too, right? Runbook, exactly the same as I wrote it before. No converting stuff to workflow. Ran on-premises, ran in the cloud, exactly the same. And that runbook actually went, and it was checking whether some configuration IT policy was set. If it wasn't, it was setting that policy on those machines, on-prem or in the cloud. And then it was doing a kind of reporting on what happened. So it sent me an email to say, hey, this was out of compliance with your configuration rules. We fixed that. Here's a puppy or cat. But so that's PowerShell script. But what if there was a way to, specifically for configuration-related IT management tasks, to do it even easier, where I didn't have to go and write even a PowerShell script that was, you know, however long this is? What if I could do it in a lot less lines than specifically coding up the get, the set, and the report functionality of enforcing my policy, right? And it turns out now there is. In Azure Automation, and even with PowerShell you can do this, but again, Azure Automation, OMS Automation, so used to saying Azure Automation, adds that. We add capabilities on top of PowerShell DSC just like we add capabilities on top of PowerShell scripts and PowerShell workflow. And that's what Automation DSC is. And basically what you can do with Automation DSC is, again, take those PowerShell desired state configurations you've already written, import them into our service, compile them into these MOF config documents, which we call node configurations in the service, and then onboard nodes for management and assign these node configurations to them to say, hey, you should be configured like a web server. You should be configured to match these firewall rules, things like that. And all I have to do is declaratively define, hey, you should be a web server. Here's exactly what you should have installed. I say this machine should get that configuration. And after that, it'll, depending on the mode I put the machine in, it'll either continually enforce that configuration or just report if it goes out of that configuration. But a lot easier than having to write kind of an imperative process via script to go and do the same thing.
That's just harnessing the power of what DSC is when it does.
Harnessing the power of DSC, but you know, putting it in, instead of the DSC as a tool, making it a solution as part of OMS Automation where you get a rich UI, an API, tracking over time in the past, easy onboarding of nodes, all kinds of great things.
I would say, you're going to have to show this again, you realize.
I will. To go through the life cycle of kind of how it looks, though, so you have these declarative configurations like this, right? So here I'm saying I want a web service role. IIS should be installed. You know, the web server feature should be present. ASP.NET feature should be present. I take that. I compile it in the service, just like I could run a runbook in the service. That creates these node configuration MOFs. And then I just assign that to one or more nodes, and those nodes will pick that up, apply that configuration if I've told them to apply it, or just report on it if I've told them to report on it. And I have all this rich reporting and automatic enforcement of my configuration policy, all automated, all without having to remote into VMs or take any manual action.
And you're saying that you offer up to 5 nodes for the entry level, try it out, see how it works for you?
Yeah, 5 nodes completely free. And then after that, it's per day pricing per node. So you only pay for the days you're having nodes managed by Azure Automation DSC.
And I'm assuming these nodes are going to be maintained and they're up inside of Azure VMs at this point in time. Or this is also a hybrid environment too.
So not only do we manage Azure VMs in this way and make it really easy to onboard them, but same support. Again, everything's about hybrid now. Any cloud, anywhere, Linux or Windows. We support Linux, we support Windows, we support AWS, Azure, on-premise. Wherever it is, we can manage it.
So now are you going to be able to show this, or is this one of those ones where I should probably call Jeffrey in again?
I don't actually have a demo prepared, so if Jeffrey's still around, maybe he has something.
Hey, Jeffrey, you still there, man? Where are
they? Hey guys, I forgot my glasses.
Nice.
There they are.
Hey, were you gonna? Did you? Were you gonna show DSC?
I was gonna say, you know, first was PowerShell, now it's DSC. I'm assuming you probably have something up your sleeve for DSC side too.
DSC's awesome, my friend. DSC's awesome. You know, I've talked to you a lot about DSC. Boy, people are crazy excited about DSC. And I've always said it's a distributed heterogeneous, so that's Windows and Linux, distributed configuration management platform. Platform. Mm-hmm. And on top of the platform, you produce what? You produce solutions. And so, of course, we've been talking to you a lot about how Chef, Pupple, Guardrail, Aditi have layered on top of the desired state configuration management platform. Here we're showing OMS automation layering on top of that. Okay. So now it provides a solution on top of the base infrastructure. All the things that people have been asking us about. Hey, where's my solution? Where's my reporting? Where's my history, et cetera? Where's my flow control, my change management? All available in OMS automation.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the thing. Now you go back to the OMS rules.
PowerShell Summit.
PowerShell Summit account. Okay, so notice here we got runbooks, assets, jobs.
Right.
And we go down here and we have DSC configurations and DSC nodes. Mm-hmm. Okay, new things. So go to the DSC configurations. Now these are the configurations that you start off, you might want to go edit it on premises in your lab, go write this configuration, and then you upload it here, right? Mm-hmm. So you've tested it out.
Right, right.
And so which is a good one I should use?
That one right there.
The simple config.
Simple config.
So check this out. It's exactly the same model. You can compile it. I won't do that right now. Here you say show configuration source. Now, as you know, configuration is just a PowerShell script.
Right.
So here we're showing the configuration. We're saying, hey, for a particular node we call web server, it should have IIS present. Now, notice how simple that is. Instead of that other logic, blah, 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 and then here's a cat when you don't see it, dog, whatever. Here, you just say, here's the way the world ought to be.
Right.
And then in addition to that, you say there's this other node, I cause failures, good node name. and that it should have a Windows feature, and here we've intentionally produced an error, right? There won't be ever a feature named Weeb Server.
Nice.
And it'd be present. But that's that configuration, okay? And so then, that's the configuration, and what you do is you rate that configuration, and then you compile it to a set of MOFs. Mm-hmm. Now again, those MOFs can go against Windows machines or
Linux machines,
Linux
or anyway,
machines,
right?
Distributed heterogeneous platform. Okay, so you go and you compile that. And by the way, again, this DSC is a mixture of imperative and declarative programming.
Okay.
So if you wanted to, you could have put a for each in there, right? You could have said for each VM in get VMs from some source, get my Azure VMs, whatever VMs, and then we'd go and we run it. We produce a MOF, a configure. What do we call it?
Node configuration.
A node configuration for each one of those nodes, okay? So then we say, okay, well, what are the DSC nodes? And here you register the nodes. Now notice you can add an Azure VM or add an on-premises VM. Are we gonna add one? Should we add one or just show what we have?
We can add one, yeah.
Which one should we do?
Well, click into add Azure, let's show that experience.
Okay.
Because it's so easy, I wanna show it.
All right, so come here. Oh yeah, there you go. And it shows you which ones you have. Should we do both?
Let's do both.
Okay, so I've added both of these, and then I say, what configuration do I want? We get that configuration from, what's the node here?
So this one, what is it? Simpleconfig dot.
Simpleconfig.
Well, see, one, we can go look it up there, but another nice thing is you don't actually have to give it the assignment here. So you can onboard it not assigned to anything, and then anytime go into the service and change what it's mapped to.
That? Great. Okay, so pretty simple. Should I just do the onboard?
Yeah.
I'll just onboard it?
Yeah. So don't hit create because they're already onboarded. But you can see how simple it was, right? You select the VMs, you configure how should the agent behave. Is it apply in monitor mode, so it should just report? Or is it apply in autocorrect mode, so it should always enforce that behavior? You hit OK, and boom, we bring in those Azure VMs for you.
And then the on-prem VMs could be anywhere. Right?
Doesn't on-prem have, can be anywhere.
Doesn't have to be just your on-prem. It could also be other services.
Whatever you consider your prem, you can set it up then.
Okay. Makes sense. I've never heard that one.
I'm coining it.
Your prem nice. Or my prem?
Whose prem is it?
Okay, so now here the great thing is all the stuff that people were asking about. It's like the reporting. Mm-hmm. So here's some nodes that we configured for this before, and we're seeing that these are compliant and these have failed. So let's just drill into one of these. Okay, and so it shows you the node, and look here, you've got the history of all the times that it was compliant.
Okay.
Okay, notice it's happening, looks like it's happening every half hour. Here, we'll do, this one I think is now compliant, but it used to be, no, this one's, oh, there you go. There, so look at that. Here, you see it was non-compliant, 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 and then something happened here. Mm-hmm. So then if you wanna say, well, when it's non-compliant, what did that actually mean? And you just click on this, and you see the raw results, and it's showing you somewhere here.
Resources.
Resource not in desired state. Resource feature, IIS.
Okay.
And write this. This is a JSON file, and we'll add some formatting to make that a little
bit. It looks beautiful right now. You're going to change the UI for that, right?
Developers love it. But yes, we'll have two different views, a developer geek out view or yes.
A nice UI version.
And then ditto for when you have failed. Okay, you can see the failed node come in here. And again, you see when it was compliant and when it had failed, and then the details. Some configuration. The requested feature Weeb server is not found on that target machine. So again, you know, taking what they've done is what I'm so excited about is they've taken the DSC platform, distributed heterogeneous platform, and turned it into a solution. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been working with the customers, finding out what are the top things they want, source code control, lifecycle management, reporting, all that, and there you go. And it's integrated in a way that's completely compatible with the previous model. Mm-hmm. So I just love this stuff. Sorry to keep interrupting. I just love this stuff.
No problem. Don't forget your glasses.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, man. So we should probably wrap this one up.
Thanks,
Jeffrey. Couple slides left to.
Yeah, a couple slides. One other thing I want to just show real quick too is Jeffrey talked about how easy it is to onboard machines, and he showed the adding Azure VMs.
Right.
But we have docs on this documentation, and we also in the portal give you the directions on if you want to onboard on-premise VMs, wherever your prem may be. Mm-hmm. You can do that. And just to give you a really quick example of that, so. One of those machines that set IT rules runbook was talking to before and mm-hmm. checking the policy of, let's actually onboard that on-prem machine as a DSC node, and it's very easy. So I get that meta config from the service,
right.
Which the automation account can give you, and then I just hit set DSC local configuration manager on that meta config, and I say to do it for this machine, a mono WEP, and then I'll go back to my portal. I'll let this run for a second there, finished real quick. And that actually registered that machine for management in my automation account. Oh, okay. So you can see, boom, immediately, a mono WEP showed up right there. And you can see it came on 11:57, so just now it was registered in the service. And boom, just like that, I'm managing Azure VMs, I'm managing on-premise VMs. I can assign whatever configs I want to them and see when they go out of compliance, make sure they continue to be in compliance with that config, whatever I want.
That's awesome, man. I got to get into this stuff now.
Yeah.
To see where it's at. So you obviously, as Jeffrey mentioned, you talked to a whole bunch of customers, be able to bring this into it. And this is available when? Is this available now?
This is
all
available
production.
Now.
You can see it all right now?
It's all there right now. And again, we have that free tier. So there's really no disadvantage just going in and trying it out. You can get plenty of value for free. You may even be able to just do all of your management on the free tier, mm-hmm. depending on how big you are.
Now, you've got this slide up here talking about different types of use cases. So we did some very simple ones for talking about compliance for a particular server, but this can actually be in a much bigger type of workflow or much bigger kind of experience, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, PowerShell scripts are imperative code, so they can really do anything you want. Desired state configurations are specifically for configuration management. But because you have configuration management through DSC and process automation through PowerShell mm-hmm. scripts and PowerShell workflows, combining those two or even using them independently, I mean, you can do any kind of automation you want to do between process automation and declarative configuration automation. Mm-hmm. And just these are kind of some examples of all the different ways people have been using and thought about using OMS automation for both Windows and Linux, on-prem and in Azure, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of great
webhooks.
Webhooks, yes.
What?
Thank you, Jeffrey. Webhooks. Let's talk about webhooks.
Okay.
Okay, so webhooks are another relatively new feature. And what they let you do is, via a simple HTTP request, just going to a URL, you can kick off a runbook and make it start. So for example, if I wanted to do continuous integration with source control, let's take, for example, Visual Studio Online or GitHub. They both have webhook support, which means I can set up an event. When some event happens, it'll kick off a runbook. In Visual Studio Online and GitHub, they support when a new commit to my source repository happens, go and kick off this webhook. So anytime someone commits to my Visual Studio Online or GitHub repository, I can make it actually kick off a runbook. That runbook could, it really depends what you have in that repository.
Right,
you could have runbooks in that repository, in which case it'll pull them in as runbooks or configurations in your automation account. It could be your application source code or updated DSC configurations for your VMs. And so basically what it's doing is it'll notify automation that you have something for it to go do. It'll just immediately kick that off. So no more having to, okay, I committed it to source control, now let's go kick off this runbook. You just commit, the event fires in GitHub or Visual Studio Online, and the runbook gets kicked off to deploy your source to VMs or to update the configuration for your VMs. Awesome stuff.
So if someone wants to get started with this today, if you had to send them to one place, where would it be?
You know what? It's really funny you asked that, because I have this other slide which happens to have the URL of where they might want to go if they're looking to start playing around with this. Microsoft.com/OMS.
Very cool. Well, Joe, thank you very much. It's been a crazy, crazy video. Jeffrey, wherever you are, thank you too for stopping by.
Could be hiding anywhere.
And to be able to stop by and show us some of those demos. Definitely go off and try this out today on Azure.com, and also obviously being able to bring this on-premises as well. Microsoft.com/OMS. Thanks for joining us, man.
Great to be here. Thanks again.
And we'll catch you next time.